With me again, please, to the book of 2 Samuel and the chapter 22. And with the Word of God open before us, let's just seek the Lord's help for the hearing of this precious Word this morning. Our Father, we do thank you for this precious book that we hold in our hands, the Word of God, given to us by inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, preserved down through the years, that we might sit today and know that we are reading the very Word of God Himself. We pray that thou would speak to us, that in the Scriptures of truth this morning that we might find a message that will warm our hearts, that will encourage us in our walk of faith with Jesus Christ, that will challenge and rebuke us where we have gone astray, and bind us up for we find ourselves hurting. And we ask our Father that in all things that we might see the Lord Jesus Christ revealed in the Scriptures of truth, He who is the Word of God incarnate. Oh, that we might see Christ this morning. We might look upon Him whom our soul loveth, and might rejoice in His bountiful care and in His wonderful grace. To be pleased to speak to us now, we ask once again in our Saviour's name. Amen. When we come to 2 Samuel chapter 22, we're very near the end of David's life. We've been with him from a young boy tending his father's sheep on the hills surrounding Bethlehem. You've seen him as a fugitive on the run from King Saul. We've seen him come to the throne. We've seen him reign and bring glory to God. We've seen him fallen and bringing shame upon himself. We've seen him fending off the rebellion of Absalom. Now we find him in the last days of his life. And once again, he is found on a battlefield. But for the last time, he is on the home stretch. He's in his late 60s, we believe. And in chapter 21, he has fought his final battle. And so aged and exhausted is he that he almost gets himself killed, but only to be rescued at the last moment. And as he leaves the battlefield for the final time, he's not discouraged, and he's not crying. In fact, he leaves with a song. And in those days that are left to him, when he sits in his palace, reflecting upon the life that he has lived for the glory of God, a man after God's own heart, he thinks upon the greatness that he has achieved. He now sits a mighty king, ruling over a great kingdom. The land is at peace and is prosperous, and God has given him, he says, a victory over all his enemies. David remembers where the Lord found him and what the Lord has done for him. He picks up his pen and begins to write the words of this chapter 22. A hymn of praise unto God. Now, I'm not a songwriter, and I don't know if you are either. I don't write poetry, not very well. Maybe the roses are red variety, something like that. But if you can write a song or a poem and leave it for successive generations so that it might be read and sang by your children or your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren unto successive generations, a song about your relationship with God, what would you write? What would you sing about? What would you tell them about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? What could you tell them about God's work in your life? Because that's what David is doing here in chapter 22. And now we don't have time to go through the whole chapter this morning, but if I were to give you a summary of the chapter, David sums up his life with four great themes, and you can find them for yourselves when you read the chapter later. But basically he's saying that when times are tough, the Lord is our strength and our security. When days are dark, the Lord is our light. When our walk is weak, the Lord is the one upon whom we lean. When our future is unclear, the Lord is our only hope. David develops these great themes, and they're wonderful to read and to see their parallel in our lives also. But we want to take a moment or two this morning to think of this last song of David and to consider that we find him once again a singing saint. David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Some Bible commentators place this as the last song that David ever penned. Some place it earlier in his life when they said, well, it mentions in verse 1 that he wrote this after God delivered him from the hand of Saul. And that's very early in his life. Well, which is it? I think it's both. I think this is a hymn that David has been writing over the whole course of his life. This is a hymn of praise that he's been adding new verses to as he goes along. And now when he comes to the end of his life, he's able to finish it. This is his life's work. How wonderful it is for David to have a song in his old age. How marvelous and meaningful to hear the sweet psalmist of Israel sing unto the Lord, even in the midst of all of these traumatic circumstances. It's really great to hear David singing once again. You know, you can gauge your spiritual condition by considering the last time that you sang to the Lord. Is there a hymn of praise in your heart for the Lord? Are you praising God? It's a barometer to your soul. It tells you whether you're suffering low pressure or whether you're on the high mountain top with God. David is found in fellowship with the Lord, singing to him, writing a new song. The war is over. The battlefield is left behind. And I'm going to sing of my deliverer, the one who has rescued me from the hand of all my enemies. David has had a lot of enemies. There was Goliath, then there was Saul, then the Philistines and the Ammonites and the Syrians and the Edomites and the Moabites and the Amalekites and Abner and Ishbosheth and Nabal and then Absalom and Sheba and Adonijah, Shimei and a host of others. And yet he's praising God for his great deliverance. He's something to sing about. Tell me, are you singing in your heart to the Lord? Maybe you say, Pastor, you don't know what my life's like at the moment. If you only could see what was going on in my life, you might realize that I haven't very much to sing about. But you know what? Our singing, our heart of praise to the Lord has got nothing to do with our circumstances. I would point you to Acts chapter 16. And show you Silas and Paul sitting in a prison cell at midnight with their hands and their feet chained and their backs just filled with gaping wounds from being whipped. And what are they doing? They're singing songs and praising God at midnight. We're told that all of the prisoners heard them. Our circumstances shouldn't silence our song to the Lord. We can sing in every circumstance. Let me point you out some examples from the book of Psalms. We can sing when we're happy. Psalm 100 verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You can sing when you're joyful. You can sing when you're sad. Certainly the Jewish people did when they were brought into captivity in Babylon. Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We can sing when we're happy. We can sing when we're sad. We can sing when we are repentant over the sins that we have committed before God. We can sing with David in Psalm 51, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And here David is singing feelings of praise. Now, what does he sing about? He sings about a personal relationship with God. I want you to notice something there in verses 2 and 3 of 2 Samuel 22. And you can follow along from Psalm 18 as well. They're virtually identical in their wording. But listen to what David said. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Saviour. Thou savest me. David's very fond of that personal pronoun, me and mine and my. And he puts me in mind of a little child, because that's one word that every little child knows, because that's my toys. And that's my mummy and my dad. And they're very fond of using that word because it expresses something to them. It's mine. They're very possessive. And David, it seems to me, has a very childlike love of the Lord. He's my God and my deliverer and my Savior. There's praise for a personal God. Tell me, when you sing to God, can you use the same expression? Can you speak of my God and my Savior and my Lord? Because the most important thing in life is knowing that you are right with God, that you can say that He is my God, and I am His child. It's not enough for us to be able to sing about our God, or even the God. We want to say with David in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It's not enough to be good, or to be religious, or to go to church, or even just to stop doing the things that we know to be wrong. We need to be saved, to be born again of God's Holy Spirit. We need to be trusting in Jesus Christ as the only grounds and hope of our salvation. Nothing else truly matters than being able to say that He is my God. David praises a personal God. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? That's the first thing we need to take care of this morning. You need to know the Lord as your own personal God. David recognizes the personal nature of his relationship and walk with God. He's mine, and I am his. And he praises his personal God, but he continues with that great theme of praise for a powerful God. Because David finds himself in a saving relationship with the Lord. And he comes with some wonderful metaphors and pictures that describe God's power and influence in his life. He says concerning the Lord in verse 2, "The Lord is my rock." Now what do we think of when we hear that expression, "The Lord is my rock"? We think of strength. We think of stability. We think of, as we have sang already this morning, hiding ourselves in the cleft of the rock. And no matter what storms will blow, there's a place of peace and security and refuge in the Lord. We are safe in Him. We think of stability. We think of the wise man of whom our Savior spoke, who built his house upon the rock. Not upon the shifting sands, but upon the solid rock, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Our Savior was able to say to Peter, after his great declaration that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, our Savior turned to him and said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We think of that great bedrock of truth, our hope in Jesus Christ the Savior. Can you say this morning that He is my rock, my foundation, the one upon whom I build? He's my rock and my fortress. Well, if the rock pictures strength and stability, the fortress pictures for us safety. We have a fortress that we can run to, a place where we will find ourselves protected from the enemy. Jeremiah 16 and verse 19, the prophet records for us, "O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction." We have a place of safety that we can run to in times of adversity. Peter reminds us that Satan is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Well, we have a place of safety that we can run to and be safe in the day of attack, because the Lord is our fortress. He's my rock, my fortress. Then he says he is my deliverer. He's my strength. He's my safety. He is my Savior, my deliverer. He's the one who rescues me from danger. Throughout the life and biography of David, there's a little phrase that we came across many times. It says, "In the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul, he has been delivered, rescued from danger." How does the Lord deliver us? He delivers us from our sins. He delivers us from an eternity spent without Him. He delivers us from the hand of the wicked one who would seek to destroy us. Can you say, "The Lord is my deliverer, my Savior, the one who has rescued me from all danger"? Then he continues in verse 3. He says, "The God of my rock." He is my God, David said. The word God there is the Hebrew word El, E-L. Sometimes it's extended to Elohim. But it refers to God as the Almighty God, the Sovereign. He's my strength. He's my stability. He's my Savior. He is my Sovereign, my God. He's the one who has created all things. He's the one who is in control of all things. You ask me why I rejoice, David said. It's because He is my God. He's the one who is in perfect control. His plans, His purposes will all be fulfilled. Nothing can happen to me outside of the perfect will of God. And even when I cannot make sense of what's happening, I trust in the fact that God's ways are higher than my ways and His thoughts than my thoughts, and I am happy to submit myself unto the One who is the Almighty God. He is the God of my rock. In Him will I trust. He is my shield. Well, we looked at the shield last Sunday evening in the Christian's armor, and it's the shield that protects us from the fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, David says here that the Lord is my shield. When trouble comes to my life, and sometimes the Lord will allow those things to come in order that He might give me grace to overcome, but there are times when the Lord steps in between me and the trials that come and protects me from the storm that's approaching. The Lord is my shield. I think only heaven itself will reveal to us just the number of times and the number of ways that the Lord stepped in and protected us from dangers to become a shield for our souls. Not only is He a shield, but He is the horn of my salvation. You may be familiar with the expression or the thought of cornucopia, the horn of plenty. It's sometimes pictured as a curved goat's horn that's filled to overflowing with fruit and ears of grain, and it's a symbol of an overflowing abundance. David said, that's what the Lord is to me, a horn of plenty. He's provided for my every need. Everything that I ever required, I found in Him. He's the horn of my salvation. He is my high tower, my security. No doubt He's thinking of the many high towers that were built around the ancient cities of Israel. And from these high towers, the soldiers had a wonderful vantage point. They could see the enemy approaching from a great distance. They could rain down their arrows upon their heads. And those high towers would have been stocked full of ammunition and supplies, so that when the soldiers ran to the high tower, they were placed above the battle in a place of rest and refreshment and ready supply. You know, we come to the same God this morning. That even while the battle rages on around us, we can run to Him. We can find rest in Him. And we can receive refreshment from Him. And we rejoice in the knowledge that the Lord is ever with us. He's our high tower. He's our place of safety and salvation. He's the one who sustains us in times of trouble. He is my God, the Lord my rock. When David thinks upon all of these things, he says in verse 4, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. When I think of all that the Lord means to me, and all that He has done for me, and all that He has promised to me, when I think of how worthy the Lord is, I will praise Him, David says. And I will be saved from mine enemies. You know that wonderful word, saved, in verse 4. Very interesting. David speaking about continually calling upon the Lord and Him continually saving me. It's not something that happened once in the past, that I called upon God and He saved me back then, but it's something that's happening all of the time. I continue to call upon the Lord and He continues to save me. He saved me in the past. He's saving me now. He will save me in the future. He is the unchangeable God. I will praise Him. He's my personal God. My God. He's my powerful God. my rock, my shield, my horn of salvation, my high tower. He's the God who sustains me in times of trouble. He moves into verse 5. David speaks of when trouble came. And there were many times when the doors of men were closed to him, and the only one he could turn to was the Lord. He couldn't return to Jerusalem for fear of being put to death. He couldn't find sanctuary in the tabernacle. But even when the cities of earth were closed to him and offered no help to him, the very gates of heaven were opened, and the throne of God became his refuge. And he lifted his cry to the Lord, who moved in and forward to help. Now, David is a poet, and he uses words to communicate his experiences. We have to, I suppose, let the normal, natural meaning of what he's saying really just come through. Verse 5, the waves of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Picture a man in the middle of the sea without a life jacket on. And he's going down for the last time. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented. Death has got its cold hand upon me, ready to bring me down to the grave. 50 years David was a soldier. No doubt he was face to face with death on many an occasion. There were times that it seemed that he was going down for the last time. The floods of water have come in. There's distress. There's the snare of the hunter that I must escape from. And what does he find? That God sustains him. I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of the temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. God sustained them through times of temptation, through times of testing, through times of trial, when it seems that he would go down for the last time, never to surface again. God delivered. He's the God who delivered. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears, and God came to my rescue. The earth shook and trembled, the foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. God is ready to act. The earth trembled and quaked, the very foundations shook. And the reason? God was on the move. One of his children was in trouble. And God was on a rescue mission. He barred the heavens also and came down. Verse 17. David says, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me. He reached down. He took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me. God is the great life saver. He delivered me from the strong enemy. Can you say that of God this morning? That he is your personal God. That he is your strength. That he is your savior. Your stability. The one who sustains you. The one who's worthy of your praise. Let me just finish by pointing you to verses 50 and 51. You read through the whole of the psalm and you'll see every human experience recorded for us there. And David says this by way of conclusion at the end of his life, therefore, when I consider all that the Lord has done with me and through me and for me, therefore I will give thanks unto thee. Now that I've reached the end of my life and I look back upon all that the Lord has done,
and I look around me at all that the Lord is doing, and I look forward to all that the Lord has promised, I come to this conclusion, David says, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, because you're worthy to be praised. Are you a singing Christian? Do you have a hymn, an anthem of praise for the Lord because of all that He's done for you and all that He's promised to you? It's no wonder David burst out into song. His life has been blessed and graced by God. From the day that God called him from following the sheep, God has saved him and secured him and strengthened him and sustained him. And David says, the very least that I can do now is praise you. This is the song we should all be singing. If we're saved by God's grace, we enjoy the same benefits and blessings as King David himself. Indeed, we have far more reason to praise God today. For we have that full understanding that eternal salvation is ours through Jesus Christ. Will you join with me this morning in praising God for His great redemption, for the great promise of the gospel, of a place in heaven reserved for us through Jesus Christ our Lord, for all that have come unto Him by faith and are trusting in Him. Let us praise the Lord.